Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio, goes to 24/7. It doesn't matter the time of year, the time of day. This story happened a while back, but I can now actually disclose the house that was involved because it has been torn down. I'll do that later in the show. The story is about the ghost, actually more than one ghost. That's the fun thing about this is you never know what to expect when you agree to go check out a haunted space.
When somebody said, would you be interested in checking out something for me? And just, you know, are you open to that? And well, yeah, of course, because some of these opportunities, it has to do with all the elements being in place at the right time. There's more going on the superficial layer that we can label it and say, this is why I'm here. But that other layer, the spirit, the essence, the soul, is what's pulling these things together. And so this was an opportunity for me to say, yes, I'm in the Midwest. There's this beautiful museum in Kansas City, and they've got everything. You know, they've got Chinese artifacts. They've got, you name it, it's there. Now, that is going to, in itself, be a challenge because all this stuff has energy. And then they're also doing some renovation and a lot of digging, a lot of construction in that area. So some of that's going to create some kind of upheaval, a little bit of chaos. There are overlays of all this energy and all this stuff. Sometimes you can pick up on a person who's there. And I've had that happen before where one person wants the information and the other person's crossed over relatives are going, no. And so the person who wanted the information, it wasn't necessarily the right time because the person who got the information, all their peeps showed up and said, please, just give us a chance. That part, I think, is fascinating because it's always, for me, it's always right place, right time. So there's a reason that information has to come through at a certain time in a certain way. It's also a challenge because it isn't a linear thing. And so sometimes I'm not even aware that I'm connecting when I am. And with the guys I work with, it's always, they stress, don't overwork it. Don't overthink it. Don't try so hard. Back off and let the energy present itself. And some of the best advice I got from one of the remote viewers was, think about the information that would surprise you. What are you most unlikely to come up with on your own terms? That's what happened when I was channeling. I was writing things and using terms that, yeah, I might have been familiar with. I might have heard the word somewhere, but it wasn't in my everyday vocabulary. And so to try to explain that to somebody, well, you know, that's the language you speak. You should know all this. And no, when you're doing this kind of stuff, it surprises you because sometimes it's far more eloquent, far more articulate, or far more unfamiliar because it isn't usually your go-to frame of reference or the card catalog you're normally pulling your language out of. It just isn't there. And that's when you know it's legit. You also have ways of judging it of, is this relevant? Is this timely? Does this make sense? Does this belong to someone who's here? And so you kind of go through that. It's like charades because sounds like, looks like, feels like, might be close to, somewhat relevant. And you're having to feel your way or sense your way and allow it to come together as a puzzle. Instead of knowing what it's going to be, you have all of the pieces and you start putting things together. And sometimes there are going to be multiple puzzles and overlays. They're multidimensional. So all of this makes it a challenge. And for me, interesting. I really enjoy looking at these connections and trying to discern what would be most helpful at that time and how might this apply. So when I'm going through this property, first, you know, going, saying, okay, this is the layout and this is what the building, the house, who it might have belonged to, all that. I don't want too many details. And I didn't do a pre-search to figure out anything about this house because that way I know that I'm not just projecting or drawing something out of my own little tool bag and applying it on this. And that's really important, especially in when I'm doing a read for somebody. I don't want the information. I want it to come as a part of the process of engagement, of discovery. And so it's also something that I don't go out and say, hey, let me do a read for you and I'm available and come see me and da, 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 da. If it's word of mouth and somebody says, hey, I heard you do this, I'm okay with that. But I don't want to do it full time. And I remember when I started doing this channeling and stuff, it's like, I don't want to talk to dead people. And no, it's not my deal. But at the same time, when you do this kind of stuff, then you are in that circle and they see you and they can come to you and say, can you help me? And at that point, sometimes they can get really annoying because there's nobody around who can help them. And you're the only one who showed up. So they're kind of saying, this is something you can do. Well, please do it. Quit stalling or quit pretending or quit, you know, in some way, shape or form, distracting yourself and help. At the beginning, I would have dreams, these people would all be lined up outside my door. I'm like, what the heck am I doing? Another time I saw a ladder and I'm helping people go up the ladder. I'm saying, okay, next, okay, next. They were trying to give me pictures of how this might work, of why it might relate or be helpful for me to know this information, that it wasn't a way, it was a way to assist, not a way to push, shove, or in any way coerce, but assist if needed, if wanted, if allowed. And so I'm going through this building, feeling the space. And it was really funny because at the very beginning, I pick up on the lady of the house. And the lady is a certain energy. And so I have that energy, feeling that she's really appreciated the use that the house, the money isn't really an issue of, you know, who comes in and who goes. This was a house that was at one time a showplace. But that wasn't what she was about. She was very proud of being in a space. And she was an entertainer in a way where she liked to be the hostess, provide and allow and make space. And so she was a giving and generous kind of person. All right, so I can pick up all that. So in this particular use of the space, she's enthusiastic in how it has been given a life and a purpose beyond what she was able to do while she was there. So I'm picking up on that and picking up on that energy, which is a very nice and vibrant, warm energy. So that's the energy, the underlying, because that entity is still in that space and still kind of, you know, making sure things go as planned. Now, there are other entities there, but she is the basic, she overshadows the others. Then I'm feeling the other energies, and each room has its own specific purpose or use, or in some ways a connection to an entity. And so they will feel different. And so I'm sensing that and kind of getting a sense of what is going on, and sitting there and putting myself in the main area of that house and asking, why am I here? what was this about? Because there's a reason for everything. There are no accidents. It may seem like it because we don't want it to happen, and it looked like it, you know, a Lemony Snicket thing, a series of unfortunate events. But there's a reason. Either we learn something from it, or we are put in contact with somebody else we wouldn't have met any other way. And so here this is an opportunity. And so I'm saying, well, why? And part of the energy, part of the entities in that space were ready to go. And they said, nobody does this here. I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I remember when I was first drafted into doing that, and I didn't think I did it either. I didn't know I did it. And then they showed up and said, you do it, please help. And it's not that difficult. It's not that difficult. If you have a good sense of your own essence, your own energy, your own connection to spirit, your own connection to that other element that's higher in basically our home. If you have a good connection there and you feel comfortable and solid in that space and with asking for assistance from either spirit guides, a higher power, source God, your own energy is a jump start. It's what they tag onto to make the connection to start out with and to know that you're present. And then from there, you give it a boost so that they can make that next connection to the higher level or the exit. Because where they are at the moment, they're unable to see the exit. That's usually the purpose. And what I was given as I attached or connected with this individual was that she had stayed because of her father. And what happened was when she checked out, when she transitioned, her father was the first one she saw, but he was still there. He hadn't crossed. He had kind of stayed behind in this space. And so as I see that and see the connection, she's not quite sure where to go, because in that space, she would have followed him. But when the time came, she found other things to do. And she was still caught up in the manifest plane of caretaking for the house and that space and enjoying it.
And I can actually say what house this was a little bit later in the show. But for right now, we're just going to go forward with the story. And there's also a little surprise that goes along with that. Okay, Afterlife 101.
When we cross over, it's not like all of a sudden this all dissolves. We, in some cases, are very much enmeshed, depending on how we are attached to our property and how real this physical realm is to us. If at that time when we're crossing, there's somebody else who's meeting us and greeting us and saying, come on. And we say, well, we're not quite ready. Or if there's somebody we're attached to and connected to who's still doing some work here, then we may stay and choose and say, okay, well, not yet, not yet. Well, that's basically what she did, was not yet. And then she was so caught up when he did move and go forward, she wasn't quite ready. And so then here she is basically going, I need an assist. Can you? And there were others there as well. So I'm seeing At one level, there are two. The ground floor level, there are four. And above that level, there are seven. And these are entities, essences, who have the strongest for me resonance, imprint. And the ones at the bottom level, and this would be the basement, the subfloor, seem to be there as a grounding part of that whole space. So they may have been older entities. I didn't get a solid fix on them. But what I did get was that they may stay. That it wasn't necessarily a checkout. It was more of the space of that property. So they could be, in a higher sense, guardian spirits. And that kind of keeps things at, you know, for a property or for a place, it keeps the riffraff out. You know, it's just, that's the best way of saying it. There are sometimes spirits when they go in and out, and you'll find somebody who wants to come in and stir the pot and play a little bit more and maybe get carried away. And then you have a poltergeist activity that's over the top, especially when you have people who are also not grounded and coming in and don't realize their own psychic ability, their own PK ability, and they're actually enabling and in some cases triggering these events when you've got the PK stuff going off the wall. So that part of it, there are two there. The four had to do more with the space of the rooms on that main floor. The energy of the rooms was attractive to these spirits. And so they each had parked their own space and they're four. And then the seven, same thing on the higher element, there were seven entities that were all in that space. I found out later there was a reason for the numbers, and that it did very much coincide with the property and the tenants of the space. Now, I'm having to be, ambiguous about some of this stuff because I don't want to identify the property. So I'm just giving you an idea of how this works when you're going into a space like this and what you pick up on. Again, with no prior research, no prior understanding or information, because it allows you to do a clean read. And you may be wrong, you may be right. That's not the point. The point is to do the best of your ability to get the information that is needed at that time so that you can either make a connection. And for this, when they said, nobody else does this, can you please help? So what I was called there to do was to help release these individuals from their space, the ones who wanted to go, to release them and allow them to go. Because sometimes it's, you know, it's like when children get caught up in a loop, and you'll have a group where there's one that seems to be an older, maybe a caretaker or an overseer or a stronger person, and they'll be attached to some children because they are lost or in between. And we go to areas that pull our energy, that we resonate with, that we find some kind of a synchronicity, a sense of, this is familiar. Okay, I'm all right with this. It doesn't always mean it's a good space. It means that this is what we're familiar with. So a pattern is there that then we are caught up in. It's much more interesting than just dying, okay? that's not it. It's continuing, and continuing in unique ways. And when you talk to near-death experiencers, you find out, or people who've just, done an out-of-body experience, you find out that there are so many levels and so many types of experiences that we just can't cover it all. So for me, when I'm dealing with these entities and energies, I have to keep an open mind that what they see is real to them. And if I engage and I do it to the best of my ability with a higher purpose and for the good of the greater, all that is, then I am giving them an opportunity to connect at that level. If they don't, that's not my deal. I can't be one size fits all. I can just be, this is what works for us at the time. So I felt the energy shift. And Andy usually goes with me, my husband, because he gives me a barometer, and he also helps ground me. Because doing some of this work, when you get out of your element and you are in a new environment and you might be just a little discombobulated because you're doing your channeling, and that always shifts my energy. It's a nice feeling. It's a pleasant feeling. Then I need somebody else to help ground me so that if I go out too far, I can come back. I've got a frame of reference. I've got a point of awareness that's familiar and I can come back to so that I don't get lost and wander around out there. And again, everybody does this their own way. What I did in this case was to sit, and I realized without even knowing that I had brought some tools. And the tools consisted of angel cards, a candle, which I hadn't used for any other reason, that had been given to me. It was a gift. So a candle, and it was still wrapped, beautiful, fragrant candle. And a couple of other things too. I had some stones, which the rose quartz, which I usually use, and then a smoky, a snowflake obsidian, and usually hematite. But there were specific reasons for the stones and for the timing. So doing that and realizing that I had these tools without even planning. So I'm setting, you know, setting these things out and acknowledging and working with spirit guides and angels to see, you know, what would be most helpful. And so the first one, there's the Michael, Archangel Michael, and that comes in and that's a very solid, beautiful for me, a golden, kind of a gold blue light that comes in and just shoots straight up, So if anybody wants to take an elevator, this is the fast elevator, like the supercharged. So that, to me, was a way of grounding and then giving the lift and bringing that extra boost to help each cross over. Now, this is where it gets complicated. There was one entity there, and the entity felt like manifested as somebody who was sick. And the information that came was that it was an unintentional poisoning, and it was arsenic. It was a toxin that at the time wasn't really acknowledged as a toxin, but that was part of the thing that helped contribute to the demise of this particular person. So this entity was very heavy. When you have this entity come into you, into your energy space, then you're going to feel a difference. And it can be a bubble, it can be a shock, it can be with this one, since there was an illness as the last memory, as the last imprint, then I am feeling this heavy, intense, energetic drain, you know, all of a sudden, bottom of the ocean, feeling all this pressure and this, I'm thinking, good grief. And it's taking me a second or two to figure out, okay, this isn't mine. And I'm getting, it's beginning to fill and I need to release. But I also needed to acknowledge, because that's where this entity was stuck in that disease, stuck in that death phase, stuck in that pattern of demise, completely being unable to lift and to elevate and to disengage from that life. So as we see it, if we look at it from this platform, here we are. If I can boost that energy, take it on, bring it in, and say, this is not your body. Okay, you no longer have a body, nor do you have a need to carry this burden. This was your life, and it is over. And you learned, and you lived, and you are loved. And now you can go forward. So let's go. With that, put my energy into it and infuse energy into that being to help them make a transition. Poof. Poof. Shake it off. Shake it off. Okay. So with that, it helped release me from that pull and the other entity from needing to remain stuck. Now, I don't know where it goes from there. That's not my deal. I do know that it felt lighter and it was gone. Another point, when I'm talking to the person who invited me and said, you know, is there something you can get from this space? And telling her about what I'm sensing and how I felt and what it was like, there were some things that were essential to part of what she's doing and how she's manifesting her space and what's going on. So those things are just all front and center and surface. And the lady of the house, which is really funny, we'll come back to that. The lady of the house was expressing a gratitude and just a joy of being involved in what this space is about. And so that part is there. But then all of a sudden, I'm standing and I feel this energy, just like a little bubble. At first, I see these little white lights, little sparks of, you know, white pinprick size, tiny little sparkles off over above to my right and over above and back behind her head over at the doorway. I'm thinking, well, okay, that's different. Now, at this point, I've done all the work. I've cleared the house. I've cleared the space and invited those who wanted to go ahead and transition. And so that's what's happened. Where it goes from there, I'm not sure. And so I'm thinking, well, what are these little lights about? And I'll tell you what the little lights are about, because that's a fun part of this and totally unexpected. This is basically working with spirits and going where you're called and trusting, right place, right time. When you need the energy, you need the information, you need the contact, it's there. You do not have to know it logically with your mind. You feel it, you sense it with your heart. Going back to this spirit thing, connecting at the house, this isn't something you plan. It isn't something that you know you're going to do. It's just something that you kind of have to just show up and see what transpires. So that was the thing. I connected with the lady of the house and then connected with the other entities on some level. I got a couple of names and later on went and connected the names related to people who had been in the house. Now, I'm not getting a strong picture. All I'm getting is enough to, for me, validate I've got the right house. Just okay. So for me, that's really more of what it's about is, am I getting the correct information? Is this the space that I am being called to work with? Now, if I don't get three or four of those little signs, then I know, okay, I need to readjust. I need to shift, or it's not the right day. It's this, there's a reason, but I have to do that for myself to give me a little better perspective and more confidence that what I am getting is relevant. So we've done that. And, but this is new. I'm feeling a lift and it comes in my right side. And now I'm on the left side of the person I'm talking to. And I'm thinking, good grief, you know, whoa, bubbles. I like bubbles. And I've seen the sparks. And then all of a sudden I get, there's a name that goes along with this. And this name, it starts with a J. Like, okay. I also get that this student was here in this space, a student, 17 or 18, somewhere, you know, along that line, I'm seeing a young woman. And I'm like, okay. So I ask, is there something about a student with the letter name that starts with J? Of course, that's real definitive. I mean, hundreds. Okay. Well, all right. It's a start. And then there's another part of this where I am seeing a younger woman, 17, 18, in this space, a student. And it was a recent death, December. And so maybe that helps, a recent death. Okay. And then the other element, a headband. She's showing me, telling me, and this is the student, the person telling me she always wore a headband, a scarf, always had a scarf. And she's got to work with my vocabulary. Okay. So this is always a challenge of, do I have the same language of the person who I'm talking to, the human, the physical person, as opposed to, you know, the person that's giving the information and my own data box, my data file. Got to make a connection somehow. Well, okay, so this person has that information. At the same time, the connection that was made is the person who was deceased was not at that time a young person, but they have transitioned, and this is the form they identify with in this space at this time to make the connection with the person. All right. Oh, that made it really hard because I wasn't seeing the template, the cookie cutter that we just saw exit. I'm seeing the new player who's gone through the refresh mode and now back in a way that she enjoys, that she would like to be seen. Okay. I know how that feels. Yeah. People take pictures of you and you're like, well, that wasn't my best. And then it's spread all over. It's like, okay, great. So you live with it. And at the same time, you know, in your soul and your heart, I'm the butterfly. Yes. Quit making me a June bug. All right. So all that goes into it. So she is now the butterfly. She left the June bug behind. The funny thing is that, yes, when the person I was talking to made a connection, it was very much somebody she knew. And then she gave the information about the headband, the scarf, that information, and it related to the person that I had connected to. And that joy and that sense of being and that new burst of energy means that transition is like, okay, guess what? I've arrived and here I am. I have my new wardrobe, or old wardrobe, better wardrobe, wardrobe I like. So the message was that it was a good transition. And she didn't get stuck, but she was letting others know that she's doing her work from the other side. And there are a few loose ends that she will be helping in her own way, helping to tie up. And that's what we do. If in any way, shape, or form we can, we try to tie up loose ends while we can, right after the departure. And that does happen. I've seen it with my stepfather. I've seen it with others. My dad, showed up and said, well, I just wanted to see how the other half lives. We were separated. And that was exactly what my dad would have said. So, and knowing, I mean, it was a cool transition with him. We were estranged, but there was a reason, and that was a better way for it to be. But the thing that I was on my phone with my mom, knowing that it was a 5-hour trip to get to where he was, to make a connection while he was still in the physical. And I knew by the time I got there, he wouldn't be there. And technically, he wasn't there anyway. He was kind of in between toward the end, and yeah, you know, probably, you know, getting ready to check out, but that part of it. So he was already transitioning in that moment. And what happened is I'm talking to my mom on the phone I'm standing on the porch outside my house, and I can see that there's a church steeple at that particular house. At the end of the street, I can see the church steeple. And as I'm talking to her, saying, Mom, I can't go. I you know, there's no way I can make that trip. And I see this rainbow at the top of the steeple on the church. And I know that Dad has just sent me a message saying, it's okay. I knew in that moment, because I'm standing on the porch blubbering, crying, oh my God, you know, just, oh my, knowing what that meant and that it was okay. And then he showed up a little while later doing the, in the front of the fireplace mantle, you know, hey, I just wanted to see how the other half lived. And there's an energy that goes with them too. You can feel. So that comes back to this story about the woman, the lady of the house. She comes back because when we go home later in the day, I'm in the bedroom and I'm all of a sudden there's this perfume, and it's a little heavier scent than what is popular at the moment. And I'm trying to look around to see, do I have a candle? Did I open a drawer? Is there a draft? And then I remember, oh my gosh, we just came back from that space. And so here it is, the energy now, because it took me, even though I'm saying right now, I remembered and I'm doing that. I remembered enough to imprint it and to say, I've got this unusual scent around me. What is this? It has to be something foreign and yet something I'm supposed to remember. So when I finally make the connection, I'm at work in the studio and this is at a radio station. A lot of people coming and going. Usually it doesn't have perfume. Usually. Sometimes the elevator does. And cologne. That's another story. All of a sudden, as I am then finally remembering, that was the lady of the house. And when I said those words, in comes this fragrance. And in that moment, when I'm making all of these things really and truly integrating it and knowing this happened, my senses, the sense of smell, I had coffee, and all of a sudden, I'm smelling this intense, like 7 layers of how a coffee can smell. I'm like, wow. And this fragrance, this perfume, and I got it because I put the connection together, the lady of the house, so that it would make sense that it wasn't the woman who had just checked out and was saying, hey, I'm okay. It was the other woman, the overlay of the presence who was in charge of that space in that house. That was awesome. So she was giving me a way of identifying a difference between the two. The other one had a bubble, an effervescent energy, and that youthful enthusiasm. So that's how I could imprint and remember and designate the difference, was that the one who had just crossed, just transited, had this reinvigorated sense of being, and the energy was dynamic, just like I said, effervescent. With that, when I got the lady of the house and the sense of smell went absolutely over the top, I'm thinking, this is how dogs address the world, because I had layers of coffee in a way I've never smelled coffee before. It was incredible. And then the perfume was in there. And then the smell of the studio. There's an equipment smell that comes with the electronics that I have never, ever, and I don't now, but really connected in that space. So here I've got that electrical kind of a, I don't know, it's a crisp, a rubbery, metal, metallic kind of thing that goes with the overlays of the coffee. And the coffee is, there's a depth to that coffee bean and a depth to the cup, the cardboard in the cup. I'm like, oh my, these are layers of fragrances. And so what happened, and the way I integrate this, is knowing that she gave me that infusion to be able to acknowledge that this is what was going on, and that she was helping to upgrade my awareness that this was relevant and connected to the energy of that space.
The house that we were dealing with has now been demolished. It was on the periphery beside the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. Okay. And it was called the Batty House. Demolished. Gone. And even as people go in and out of that space now, there will be a residual. It's just a matter of how it shows up. And maybe another story will evolve from that.
It's important to know that when we go into a space, no matter how empty it looks, there's always energy. It can be overlay or an underlying imprint of someone or something who has been in that space. We are so stuck in our way of viewing things as the only thing that matters is something that's concrete, that's physical, that's tangible. You want to get bowled over sometime. Run into a space that's extremely haunted and has all sorts of flotsam and decay, upheaval, and illness. And when you come out, you'll feel like you've been hit with a bunch of slime because it's still there. And it doesn't have a way of upgrading itself unless it gets an infusion of elevated, energized, light energy. That's the way it works. And so until that happens, it's going to stay kind of like a little cesspool. And then when more people come into it bringing that same cesspool energy, guess what? It's a little whirlpool cesspool. And it's a fun cesspool if you like that kind of thing. But if you're used to more light and uplifting and joyful energy, you'll feel like you have been slimed. And it's like, whoa, can't get out of there quick enough. Okay? But that part of it, it isn't tactile. You don't touch it. It doesn't exist in a way that we can put our hand on it and go, I'm going to make the dog bark. Oops. So that's the thing. But people who are sensitive or intuitive or connected on that other non-physical level have an ability to sense these things and give you an indication of what might or might not be there. Again, it isn't an exact science. And it isn't always on command or demand. It sometimes is. It creeps up on you. And then you realize, I've got a headache, or I've got a heaviness, or I've got a bounce, or a lift, or a lilt, or I'm hearing things. Somebody's trying to give me information. But it takes a while of getting through every disease you could possibly have and ruling them out. Why do I have this pinch in my side? You know, what was that ding on the head? Why do I have goosebumps? Why am I getting hot? Oh my gosh, I'm freezing. And then you realize, oh, okay, maybe it's not me. It's a clue. And so you start thinking differently and looking at new ways and new thoughts and new ideologies and new tools that might help you become more acclimated to the non-corporeal elements in our space. And then when somebody says, well, there's a portal there, or this is a dimension shift, then you can say, oh, something's happening. And maybe I can upgrade my own intuition to figure out how to deal with it, how to access it. And it becomes so much more interesting when you have these kinds of experiences because you're learning. It could be from past lifetimes and you've just forgotten them for a little while, set them aside until it would be more convenient. Sometimes we have things we are here to do, and those things must be done before we can step out and start playing and learning and evolving, because those other things were things that we had on our checklist. I remember getting my angel book at one point in a dream, and I was so excited back in the 90s. I was so excited because I had gone back to the circle of one from which we all come from. And I remembered it because it was a rhyme. And I remembered being in my group and I was thrilled. That was a touchdown because I'm like, everything made sense. Wow. Finally, I had my answers. And I was just, oh my, I can't say how happy I was. And then they said I had to come back. Like, wait, okay, I'll bring my book. I had my angel book. I had my book of all the things that I was supposed to do, all the things I had agreed to do and the way I had agreed to do them, everything. I had all my answers and they were in that book. So I was exiting. We were all on a little puffy cloud. Isn't that funny? We were on a cloud. It was a kind of a white cloud. And then I have to descend, and I descend through this gray area, this gray cloud. And I've got my angel book in my hand, and I've got it. I'm okay. I'll get through this. It'll be a piece of cake. And my angel book won't come through that darn gray space. Whatever that gray cloud was, it took it. There was no way. It's like, you know, the kid with the hand in the cookie jar trying to get the cookies out. And then there's just not going to weigh all six cookies are going to come out of that. Even one, you know, it's like, so I slipped through that little gray cloud back into my body, woke up. That was so not fair. I was like, but there was a really cool thing that happened with that. It was like I had the awareness that on some level, somewhere in my little teeny tiny itty bitty soul that's present here, because the big one stayed home, it's out there wandering. The guides told me at one point, you know, if you look at yourself from point A to your entire self, you are all the letters of the alphabet. A to Z. That is your entire self. And the one that showed up is one letter. So W came to play. Everybody else stayed home or went somewhere else because they were busy, predetermined that they were going to be doing something else. So here it is. But I knew because of that dream encounter that on some level, everything here was exactly the way it was supposed to be, whether I liked it or not, that I had showed up. And on some level, I knew my game plan. And so that's what it's been about, is knowing no matter how rotten it looks for me when I'm doing something and I'm making a mistake or I'm doing something and it's really going great, but not quite the way I want it, that there is some part of this that's important. The successes and the failures, the loves and the loss, the leaving behind that didn't quite make it. All that stuff factored into my game plan. And it was in that little book. It was that tangible. And I had it in my hand. It felt so real, so concrete, that the emotion that stayed with me as a result of that encounter was life empowering, because it was a reminder that we don't know everything here and we aren't going to. But what we do here is important, because it's how we learn, how we imprint, how we express, how we evolve, expand, how we make our own progress on another plane. We lay it out here. This is where we take those steps, those physical steps, to upgrade that awareness before we check out and go back and meet all the other numbers or all the other letters. Where did you go? I'm not going to tell you. You can't know yet. That's not fair. Yeah, well, okay. Don't go through that gray cloud, I'll tell you. That's the forgetful cloud. That's the one where they say, no, you cannot remember. You're not ready yet. So in a way, it means you should stay here and learn a little more. Some of these things are challenging. And some of these things don't make sense. If you give yourself credit for knowing without having it right here in front of you, you'll be dollars and days and lifetimes ahead. Because we already have this stuff on some level. But we do not get it until we start walking it out, working it out, thinking it out, playing it out. That's where it comes through, with the actions. As I was in that house, in that space, I was going through the motions, being aware, being available to help uplift if it was needed, uplift the energy. So I brought myself to that place, to that space, to that equation, and said, how may I be of service? How can I help? Why am I here? What do you need? And then it was played out. We would like to leave. Now, some will stay and some will go. But those who would like to leave, that's what I was there for. And all I had to do was show up and say, okay, here's the light. Here's the light. And there you go. And so afterwards, when Andy goes through the house, he's saying he just needed to check the rooms and see if they felt different. He said, yeah, the energy was lighter. It didn't have that heaviness that it did when we checked in. And the other part of the equation was a surprise. The young woman, full of life, full of enthusiasm, full of joy, full of youth on the other side, saying, okay, let them know. This is what I'm wearing. This is what I did. And my name starts with J. I died in December. Okay. Well, somebody will know what that means. And that's all it took. So if you trust yourself enough to give yourself permission to fail, permission to succeed, permission to learn, permission to just be here, because right now, this is what matters.
A quick thank you for the opportunity to take a tour of the Batty House and meet the residents, and also for the gift of the iris from the site. Thanks for listening. The blog site is wendyscoffeehouse.com or wendyscoffeehouse.blogspot. And the archives for the show are on Audio Boom. Stay curious.